Now let's start the show. Show. Step out of the cold, cold. We come from the cold, cold. To the top of the globe, globe. The pimps and the hoes, hoes. The folks and the stones, stones. Whoever you ride for, we back for some more. Get back to the show, show.
Yes, and good afternoon, and welcome to a special edition, a Sundance edition of Conversations. And of course, as you know, Conversations is a feature or a show where we sit down one-on-one with either filmmakers, artists, or folks in our industry. And today, I am very excited to introduce to you someone whose work I just discovered. And of course, that is none other than Christine Turner. Christine is a filmmaker and documentary television producer who is based in New York City. Back in 2013, her directorial debut, Homegoings, about a renowned funeral director, premiered during the documentary Fortnight at the Museum of Modern Art in New York and opened the 26th season of the acclaimed PBS series POV. Her short drama, You Can Go, about a school administrator who talks down an armed student, was selected for the 2016 Tribeca Film Festival, and it will also be distributed by PBS in 2017. She continues her turn toward fiction with the short film Hold On, which premieres at the Sundance Film Fest on January 21st. I want to introduce you guys to Christine Turner. Christine, welcome to Conversations.
Hi, Tim. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thank you. And I had an opportunity a couple of days ago to watch Hold On and really immediately said, yeah, I want to talk to her. I really, really love what you were doing. And for people who are unaware, let me explain that the synopsis for it is that family bonds are tested when a young man is left to care for his grandmother one morning. And, of course, it stars Beth Ann Hardison, Jimmy Jeter, and a very small role from Joanna Reinhart. So first, before we get started, talk to me about the genesis of your idea in your head when you created Hold On.
Sure. Well, you know, I was inspired to make this film after having served as a hospice volunteer here in New York. And I spent about a year and a half coming to know an elderly woman who had dementia. And it was through that experience of caregiving, I visited her, you know, once a week, just for an hour at a time, that I was really inspired to write this film. And as you know, my background is primarily in documentary. I also made a short the year previous, You Can Go, but really this has sort of been an opportunity for me to explore narrative and fiction filmmaking. And so that particular experience as a hospice volunteer led me to this particular story. And I knew that, you know, I wanted to make something on my own. There's not a lot of funding out there for short filmmaking, unfortunately. And so in scripting the story, I kept it small. And I wanted to, you know, I focused on two characters, filmed in a single location, and actually shot in the course of a single day, which really I wouldn't have been able to do without just an incredible incredibly generous and talented cast and crew.
Now, let's talk a little bit about this cast and crew, because the first person that really jumps out at me is Beth Ann Hardison. And, you know, for people who really don't know, she's a lot more than just Kadeem Hardison's mom, but she has been a fashion model, a style icon. And you cast her in a role that I think a lot of people are not going to be familiar in seeing her in. What was the attraction in talking to her when you presented her with this story idea that she agreed to do it? What do you think stood out for her about the story?
Well, it's interesting. You know, when I approached her for the role and I really sought her out, not really knowing whether she would be interested in acting, but in one of our initial conversations, she had mentioned that she had actually trained as an actress 10 years ago or so. And I think for her, she just loved the challenge of the role. There's very little dialogue, and by design, in the film. And so that means there's a whole lot of communication, nonverbal communication that has to happen. And it can be a real challenge for any actor. And I think that she was excited to take that on and found it intriguing. I think also there's an aspect of just she herself is a grandmother, and, you know, she could probably speak to this better than I, but understands that the tensions in a relationship between a grandmother and a grandchild. So I think that personally she related to what that struggle can be. And then I think that the entire project really just sort of intrigued her, and in some ways I think came a bit out of the blue for her, but I felt that she has a real commanding presence and that she would be able to bring a certain kind of dignity and nuance to this role. So I was very excited to have her come on board, and also really thrilled to be working with Jimmy Jeter, the young man who plays Troy, who's a, you know, fabulous actor, and hopefully we'll be doing bigger things soon.
Now, speaking of Jimmy Jeter, because this is a segue, I wanted to talk a little bit about the messages that people will probably, you know, what we will read into watching what you have created. It clearly looked as if, you know, at the very beginning, you know, when the mother is stepping out the house and she says, you know, I need you to watch her. It initially starts off with Jimmy Jeter's character as being annoyed that he has to sit there. And then somewhere in the middle of their interaction, he starts to warm toward her, you know, including her in to kind of get opening up a window or peeking behind the kind of explore and see what he's up to. And in Beth Ann Hardison's case, which I thought was really interesting in the way that you comprise the story, like you said, there's not a lot of dialogue and it's all nonverbal, so they're cues going back and forth. Did you have an opportunity to kind of have rehearsals or practice beforehand, or did you just kind of, you know, give them the story and let them kind of read into it or take it how they wanted to go with it?
We did rehearse. We had a couple of rehearsals. And I think they were really important in that it allowed each of the actors to really explore. And so we played around with a bunch of different ideas. And in fact, Jimmy, I asked him if he would bring in some of his own ideas for the song, because in the script I had not identified a specific song, which, as you know, closes the film. And so Jimmy, he had all kinds of ideas, and he sang them both to us, to Beth Ann and myself. And so we sort of collaboratively decided to choose the final song, which is also the title of the film, Hold On. And so it was sort of through that rehearsal process that I think we discovered a lot of beautiful moments that then they acted out in the film. But that rehearsal process is really important, I think, because it allowed the two of them to certainly bond and create a relationship, which I hope comes across on the screen.
Oh, it absolutely does. Now, I guess part of what my last question was, because I broke it off and went into a different direction, but we always talk about, Christine, the cultural divide or the divide in age where, you know, the elders who have the most wisdom are normally dismissed by younger people who kind of seem that they've outlived, I guess, for lack of a better term, their usefulness. Does your film, or do you think in the creating of the screenplay or the idea, how do you think people will read into the interaction? Will they look at it as sort of a situation of youth being served, or is it a situation where we need to do a better job of respecting our elders? I mean, I want to get your take on that.
Yeah, you know, I think it's sort of both. I mean, you have these two characters who are worlds apart, you know, generations apart. And I think that many of us will see ourselves in both characters. And I think that certainly being a caregiver, there's a lot of challenges and a lot of rewards in the work. And I think that hopefully, you know, the film does something to humanize this woman or our elders in general, who I agree with you, often are dismissed or are voiceless, quite literally, as in this film. And so, you know, my hope is that audiences are actually able to really identify with both characters. And you know, for all of us, I think to recognize that, you know, there's pieces of us in both of these characters, and that hopefully we can all do better.
I absolutely agree. So here's where we get into the fun part of this. I know you've had a film that has played at Tribeca. You're as a New Yorker are in New York, so that's a big deal. But when you go into Sundance, and I'm assuming this is your first time bringing a film to Sundance, am I correct in that?
You are correct in that, and it's also my first time ever attending Sundance.
Oh, my God. So here we go again. As a guy who is now on his fourth time, what is the level of excitement for you? Because I already kind of have an idea of how it's going to go for you. It's going to my take is going to be a blur for you, because you're going to get there. You've got your cold weather. They're going to roll your film out. People will watch it. They're going to swarm you and say, "Oh, we love your movie." Then you got your other interaction. What are you most looking forward to out of this first experience down in Park City?
Oh, wow. Well, first of all, I'll say I'm taking advice. So if you have any tips for me, let's talk. What am I most looking forward to? I mean, in some ways, and I think because I've never attended the festival, even as a viewer, I'm actually looking forward to seeing a lot of the films and meeting the filmmakers. I think the things that I enjoy most about festivals that I have intended is that sort of community and that exchange of ideas and conversations around, I think, filmmaking in particular. That's always been sort of the fun part. With Sundance, I know there'll be a whole lot more going on, and so I'm just trying to prepare myself, I think, not to get too overwhelmed by everything else that's going on. But mostly I'm interested in, you know, hearing and seeing people's reactions to the film. It's the first time, it's the world premiere. So first time, I'll be screening it in a public venue, and it's just, you know, Beth Ann and Jimmy are both going to be out there, as well as, a number of the crew members, my producer, Duana Butler, my cinematographer, Marshall Seitz. So I think, hopefully we can enjoy it and have a good time, as well as, you know, take care of everything else.
Well, I'm looking at the schedule for your film, and I see that they're going to premiere it at the Redstone, which I'm very familiar with that site, down in Park City on Saturday the 21st. The following day, they're going to take it to Salt Lake City, so good luck down there. No comment. Tuesday and Thursday, they're going to show, I'm assuming that since they're at the Yarrow on Tuesday and at the Holiday, those are both the P&I venues, so I'm assuming that for people who are press and industry, they will watch them there on those two locations. So Saturday at 6:30, you're going to be at the Redstone, and you're a part of a short film program. So I'm unfamiliar with how the short film programs work. I usually do the premieres where they do a straight feature, and they normally put you in the house, so it's like you and your cast. So I'm assuming it will be the same situation for you and your cast and crew of Hold On, along with whatever other films are in the program with you. that you'll get on stage, and I guess they'll do a Q&A after your movie is over. So I'm really excited for you because Sundance is a really special place, and I've been there, as I said, in years and watched some really high-profile films. There's a lot of celebrity that's out there. There's going to be a lot of people who you may have either worked with or want to work with that might be in the house. So the only thing I would tell you in advance is to make sure you have some warm clothing, some shoes that are comfortable, and be prepared because it's going to come at you really, really fast, specifically that first weekend because your film is premiering that Saturday night. There are parties, there's movies, there's people from around the world. It is. I can't even explain it to you. You just have to kind of go through it the first time, and the first time is always like overwhelming. Like, wow.
So, it's there and then it's gone. Well, I'm looking forward to it for sure. And you're right about the film screening in a program. So that'll be interesting as well to see how they've programmed it with these other shorts and how it sort of plays with them. And so it should be a good time. But, yes, I'm sure it'll be overwhelming and kind of a blur, as you said. I know. I have a feeling.
Yes, ma'am. But what I wanted to tell you is I definitely want to connect with you guys while you're down there, so I will make sure to reach out to your camp so that I can at least stop by and say hi. Because as I said, I am a huge supporter of the film. I really enjoyed the film a lot. So, Christine, you know, I want to thank you for stopping by today. And as I said, this is going to be a part of a series that we're going to be doing at Sundance called Sundance Conversations. I mean, generally, as a rule, we just do regular conversations. But since we're going to do several of these down there, you are probably one of the people that we want to feature. So congratulations. Good luck. Have a lot of fun. Take a lot of pictures. Savor the experience. You only get one opportunity or your first opportunity to be at Sundance. It can only happen one time. So this is a really big deal for you.
Well, I will certainly take advantage. Tim, thanks for having me on the show. And we'll see you out in Park City.
All right, ma'am. You take care, and look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks.
Okay. Sounds good. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.